Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for watching today. Will you turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2? And again, today we want to continue in our study pertaining to prayer, and we're considering prayer in a dispensational light. I thank you for watching the broadcast every Sunday morning, and it's my prayer that it's a blessing to you one way or another. If you're already saved, then it's our aim to build you up in the faith, get you established in the faith, and prepare you to do the job that God Almighty calls you to do in the first place. If you're not saved, then it's our aim to preach the gospel unto you and help you to see that Jesus Christ has already paid for your sins and that salvation is free through what He did for you. And it has nothing to do with what you're doing for Him. You can't be saved by working for Him, but you can win rewards by working for Him after you're saved. So it's our aim to get you to see you need Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, please notice that Paul, in writing to his young son in the faith, which is Timothy, and he's telling him some things about being a pastor and being a teacher and a leader and things like that. And 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. In other words, that which is acceptable and right in the sight of God Almighty is that you pray for all men, that you pray for kings, and that you lead a quiet and a peaceable life. Verse 4, God will have all men to be saved. In other words, all men without distinction of race, creed, or color. It's God's will that you be saved. And God proved that to you, that He gave Jesus Christ to die for you. God will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. That is, Jesus Christ died for all men without exception. There isn't anybody in the world today that could ever stand before God and accuse God by saying that I would have gotten saved if my sins would have been paid for. Well, God will point out the passages in a King James Bible and say, okay, there it is. Jesus Christ died for all, and you could be saved if you trust Christ, your Lord and Savior. Verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also. He's not saying in like manner that women pray also. He's saying in like manner also that women adorn themselves. In other words, the way a woman should dress, and it has nothing to do with whether she's to pray everywhere or not. And this is clear with a comparison of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, about verse 33 along in there. The Bible said that the woman should keep quiet in the church. It's not permitted unto her to speak. And in that particular case, the reference is to speaking in tongues, but I realize that people don't care anything about the passage, and they don't want to hear the passage, and they're not concerned about it in one way or another. And I realize that there probably be some people listening to my voice right now that say, well, the trouble with you is you're a woman hater, and Paul hated women, and you know all that nonsense, and they do it all the time, but that's not true. Anybody that read their Bible faithfully and believed what they read as they read it, where they read it, would understand that Paul never hated women. And he commended them on several occasions, as in Romans chapter 16. But he said that men ought to pray everywhere without wrath and doubting, that women, without wrath and doubting, should adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. And may I suggest that you compare 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the first 10 verses in the context, with the adorning of the woman in the context here. Not with braided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array. Verse 11, let the woman learn in silence, with all subjection, and on and on. Now, we're talking about prayer, and we want to discuss prayer in a dispensational light. I've got on the board a chart up here that I usually put up here. And in here, this would represent the baptism of Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry here. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. You'll find that in Romans chapter 15, verse 8. So I know then that Jesus Christ's ministry back here was to Israel, basically speaking. He said, the Bible said that he came unto his own in John chapter 1. And Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 7, talking to a Syrophoenician woman, said that it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And he said to the same woman in Matthew 15, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we know then that Jesus Christ's basic ministry back there was to Israel, as John the Baptist came to Israel calling upon them to repent. Jesus Christ, the same type minister, preaching, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he went unto Israel at that time. Israel, God's chosen people, exalted above the Gentiles, according to Exodus chapter 19, the first 10 verses. Exodus chapter 19, read it carefully. Exodus 19, starting in verse 4, look at it carefully, read it carefully, and look and see what he said in that passage, and believe your Bible when you read it. So Israel was exalted spiritually and politically above the Gentiles, and Jesus Christ came into Israel at that time and taught the Israelites at that time. But they rejected him, and he was crucified and rose from the dead. After his resurrection, he taught the apostles for 40 days there before they watched him as he went up into heaven. And so I've got another X out here, and this represents the salvation of the apostle Paul. This X out here represents the end of the book of Acts. In other words, in here, I would have the period of time covered by the book of Acts. And I want us to consider Jesus Christ's earthly ministry pertaining to prayer. Consider Paul in here pertaining to miracle works and whatever in prayer. And consider the age we now live in, and I'm going to say that this represents Acts 28, and I'm not being dogmatic about that. It's just that somewhere around the end of the period of time covered by the book of Acts. And so don't accuse me of being a hyper-dispensationalist or an Acts 28 man or any of those kind of things. I'm just using this as a chart up here. In other words, it might be a different time than that, but that's all right. I'm not trying to split hairs here, but I just want to illustrate a fact. What is that? There is definitely a difference in Paul's ministering to people during the period of time covering the book of Acts and that after the book of Acts, after he went into prison. And this is clear in Scripture, but we're talking about prayer, so let's look at some things about prayer. Turn in your Bible, please, to, I want you to go back to John and look in John chapter 14. In John 14, we've considered this passage in the past, but we will consider it in the light of another passage now. In John chapter 14, Jesus Christ talking to the apostles. Look in verse 12, John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Well, Jesus Christ performed miracles. He's saying, you will also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, they would not ask amiss. Why? Because they were baptized by Christ with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were so in tune with the Lord that he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so he said unto them, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now notice a contrast. Go back with me, please, and notice in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, same period of time now, but look at this Gentile and Christ's attitude at that time toward this Gentile woman. Verse 22, And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now that's clear and that's understandable. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the Jehovah of the Old Testament Scriptures. God Himself, Jehovah, Old Testament, God Himself, took upon Himself, as it were, a tent of flesh, dwelt in the flesh, walked around in flesh, and called it a temple. And so there He is. There's the Creator of heaven and earth there. There's the one that put the stars wherever they are, and the moon and the sun and whatever. There He is, and a woman comes to Him, and she obviously prayed. She said, Have mercy on me, O Lord. She called Him Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. What did He do? He answered her not a word. Now, He said unto the 12, He said unto the apostles, If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This Gentile woman said, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. But He did not answer her. He said nothing to her. And His disciples, verse 23, His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Those words are emphatic. They're positive. And if you believe your Bible, you don't have a problem with them. If you are pushing and upholding some cause in the world today, or some church system or denominational system, you may have a problem with the passage. But if you do believe in rightly dividing the word, then the problem isn't the passage. The passage isn't a problem. Sorry about that. Jesus Christ, in dealing with this woman, will only deal with her in the light of her attitude toward Israel as a nation. And notice what she did. In verse 25, Then came she and worshipped and said, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He called her a dog. And look what she didn't bow up in the back. She didn't rebel. She said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, Woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. She took her position under Israel's domain. In other words, she realized that Israel is an exalted nation and that Christ is the King of Israel. He's the Son of David, King of Israel. He's to reign over the 12 tribes of Israel. And her, a Gentile, would not be equal with the Israelites at that time. And she took a position there that if she's to receive anything at that time, she's to receive it through that chain of command, so to speak. And she said, That's right. I'm just like a little dog under the table. But even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She's saying, You're my master, and I'll take anything that I can get. And so he blessed her. Now notice another case. Turn, please, to Luke. And look in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered to Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. The centurion here is a Gentile captain of men. He's probably got 100 soldiers in his outfit. And he's got one servant that's very dear unto him that got sick. Verse 3. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Notice that this man didn't go directly to Jesus Christ. He recognized who Jesus Christ is. He recognized him as the King of Israel. And this centurion sent somebody else in his behalf. And so they came to Jesus. Verse 4, And when they came to Jesus, they besought him, saying instantly that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and hath built us a synagogue. In other words, they didn't just come and say, There's a fellow over there that wants to be healed. They wouldn't even have gone to Jesus Christ with a man's request had the man not have done the things that are referred to in verse 5. He loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Now, why would they say these things? And why would Jesus Christ grant the man's request under those circumstances at that time? Turn back in your Bible, please, to Genesis, and look in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 12, verse 1, the Bible said, "And the Lord had said unto, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now here's the verse. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." In other words, God is saying to Abraham, "I'm going to bless your children, and I'll bless any nation of men on the earth that bless your children, but I'm going to curse any nation that curse your children." That Syrophoenician woman took the position of the exaltation of Israel at that time, and God blessed her. The centurion of Luke chapter 7 took the same position. I don't know why he took that position. Maybe he studied his Bible. I don't know anything about that. All I know is what it said in Luke chapter 7. I know he's a centurion. I know he's a head of 100 men. I know that he had a servant that was sick. He sent for Jesus Christ, and as a result of him having blessed Israel, he loved the nation Israel, and he built them a synagogue. Jesus Christ went unto him. Why would Jesus Christ do it? On the basis of Genesis chapter 12 and other passages like Genesis 12. Notice in Genesis chapter 21. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. "And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah said unto thee, hearken unto her voice." Now watch. "For in Isaac shall thy seed be called." In other words, the seed of Abraham comes through Isaac and then Jacob. In other words, according to Genesis chapter 12, God said, "Abraham, I'll bless you and I'll bless your seed after you." We know that Isaac is the seed, and Jacob would be the seed of Isaac. And he said, "I'll bless them that bless your seed, bless them that bless your seed, and I'll curse them that curse your seed." In other words, during that period of time then, anybody in the nations of the world, any Gentile that blessed the seed of Abraham, God would bless. He would answer their prayers. He would help them. He would bless them. He would bless any nation. But any nation of men at that time that cursed Israel and cursed the seed of Abraham, God would curse. And you can mark that down. You need to go back there and study Genesis chapter 12 and study Genesis chapter 12 in considering what happened to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the promised seed according to Genesis chapter 22 verse 18. And Galatians chapter 3. There is no doubt about it. Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham. And there was a nation of people that cursed Jesus Christ. There was a nation of people called Romans at that time. There was a Roman soldier that pulled his beard out. A Roman soldier buffeted him with his fist. A Roman soldier put a crown of thorns on his brow. A Roman soldier stripped his clothing off of him and beat him with a whip. A Roman soldier tied him up for that beating. A Roman governor judged him and turned him over to be crucified. Roman soldiers took him out to Calvary. Roman soldiers nailed him to the cross. Rome was aghast and cursed the seed of Abraham. Genesis 12 said, "Abraham, I'll bless you, and I'll bless them that bless you, but I will curse them that curse you, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." Rome as a nation cursed the seed of Abraham, and Rome as a nation went down. Rome as a nation fell on its face. It went away. And as sure as you're living today, the nations of the world that put down and laugh at and scorn this seed, which is Jesus Christ. Those that belittle Jesus Christ, those that reject Jesus Christ, those that turn their back on Jesus Christ and laugh at His crucifixion and belittle the saints of God today that believe in Him, those people are going down as sure as you're alive today. You cannot turn your back upon Jesus Christ and expect God's blessings on you. You must worship God through Jesus Christ, or you will receive no blessing from Almighty God. But let's get back to the dispensational realm. God Almighty blessed those back there that blessed the seed of Abraham, and God Almighty cursed those that cursed the seed of Abraham. Now look in Acts chapter 14 and look at Paul's ministry at that during the period of time covered the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 14, notice verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leapt and walked. In other words, Paul healed a man at that time. Paul said unto the man, "Stand upright," and he did it. He healed a man. There are other miracles. There are other things that Paul did. There was a man blinded through the ministry of Paul in Acts chapter 13. And on it goes. Paul was a miracle worker. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, "I thank God that I speak with tongues more than you all." There are a lot of things that the Apostle Paul did during that period of time covered in the book of Acts. And during that period of time, you'll find that he wrote both Thessalonian letters. He wrote both Corinthian letters. He wrote the Galatian letter, and he wrote the Roman letter during that period of time. After he was put in prison, not after Acts 28 necessarily. Some during the period of time of Acts 28, but nevertheless, after that period of time, he wrote the book of Ephesians, he wrote the book of Philippians, and the book of Colossians. And many people today try to say that these are the only epistles written to the church with the body of Christ. I don't believe any such thing. I believe that all of Paul's epistles are written to the church with the body of Christ. And I believe that all of them are for our admonition and our learning, and that by them we learn the truth about salvation in this age and how to live once we have salvation in this age and our destiny from this age and on. But there is definitely a difference in some of the things that Paul did during this time and those that are told us out here. To illustrate, we know that he healed. We know that he spoke in tongues. We know that he worked miracles and all these things. But look what happened after that time. Turn please to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I apologize. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, notice in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into, and on and on and on. Now here's the point. He's writing to Timothy, who was saved during this period of time. Timothy came into the faith during this period of time. Timothy watched Paul work back there. He watched his actions back there. He saw Paul heal people. He saw Paul's ministry to other people. Now notice what he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Why, Timothy heard the things and knew the things that Paul wrote, in Thessalonians, Corinthians, Galatians, and Romans, and he knew the things that Paul did from Acts chapter 16. He watched Paul as he cast out the demon out of a demoniac woman of Acts 16. He watched Paul as he healed the crippled man there, and he saw him as he cast the spell upon the people, and what all those things. And yet, look what he tells Timothy in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. So immediately I'm hit with a question. Here's a young man that was saved through the minister Paul. Watch Paul heal other people. Watch Paul heal a cripple. Watch Paul raise the dead. Watch all these miracles. Saw it all. And he's sick. But Paul doesn't heal him. Instead, Paul said, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. But that isn't all. Notice in 2 Timothy, and in 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice in verse 20, 2 Timothy 4, verse 20, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left Miletum sick. Why didn't Paul heal the man? Why did not Paul perform a miracle? Why didn't he do those things that he had done during the Acts period? Well, there's all indications that these miracle works and all these things seem to have passed away with the passing of Israel, with them being carried captive among the nations in about A.D. 70. These things seem to have left. They were for a young church at that time. They were for the benefit of Israel at that time, but Israel has now become, lo am I? They're not God's people. They're cast away, and the miracles seem to have been gone. But nevertheless, we're to pray for people. We're to pray in all circumstances, pray everywhere, and pray for all men. Pray that you may be healed. Pray that others may be healed. But remember that all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Thank you for watching today. Until next time, good day.